Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. Is Democracy Now!
The decision of the World Court is a lie. They're still killing their planes 24 hours a day. They are martyrs and killings all the time. They are wounded and injuries, children becoming orphaned, innocent people. They haven't done anything. They were displaced from one place to another, looking for a living.
Just 2 days after the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to immediately halt its assault on Rafah, Israel bombed yet another Gaza tent camp housing displaced Palestinians in an area declared a safe zone, triggering a fire that killed more than 46 people, including children. Meanwhile, Palestinians continue to flee Rafah amidst ongoing blasts. We'll go to Rafah for an update, as well as to the International Court of Justice. Then, May is Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. We'll remember the work of photographer Corky Lee, who documented lives and struggles of the Asian American community.
I never liked the idea of being a model minority. I was never good in math or in science. I just said, well, you know, if I'm going to be a responsible individual in this society, I got to do something else. I chose photography.
We'll speak with Corky Lee's friend, Columbia University professor May Nye, co-editor of the new book, Corky Lee's Asian America, 50 Years of Photographic Justice. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Gaza, Israeli forces are continuing to attack Rafah amidst growing outrage over its bombing of a tent camp for displaced Palestinians, which killed 45 people Sunday, including children. Harrowing video emerged showing a man desperately holding up the charred corpse of a headless Palestinian child amidst the still blazing flames of the attack. The Tal al-Sultan neighborhood had been specifically designated as a safe humanitarian area in Rafah. This is Abed Mohammed Al-Attar, whose brother and several other relatives were killed in the attack.
The army is a liar. The occupation army is a liar. There is no security in Gaza. There is no security, not for a child, an elderly man, or for a woman. Here he is with his wife. They were martyred. They're gone. The decision of the World Court is a lie. They are still killing. They are planes 24 hours a day. They are martyrs and killings all the time. They are wounded and injured. Innocent people. They haven't done anything. They were displaced from one place to another, looking for a living.
The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the Israeli bombing a tragic mistake and said they'll investigate. We'll go to Rafah for more after headlines. Just one day earlier on Saturday, displaced Gazans sheltering at the Al-Nazla school in Gaza City were hit by an Israeli airstrike that killed at least 10 people.
What do the children have to do with this? They scattered us from here to there. Where should we go? Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. What did he do to get blown to pieces like this?
The official death toll in Gaza has now topped 36,000. The Rafah massacre came just 2 days after the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to immediately stop its assault on Rafah.
The court considered that, in conformity with its obligations under the Genocide Convention, Israel must immediately halt its military offensive and any other action in the Rafah governorate which may inflict on the Palestinian group in Gaza conditions of life that could bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part.
The aim as part of South Africa's genocide case against Israel at the World Court. Though the order is legally binding, there is no enforcement mechanism. We'll go to the International Court of Justice after headlines. European heads of state are facing ever louder calls to join Spain, Norway, and Ireland in recognizing Palestinian statehood after Sunday's attack on Rafah. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez spoke earlier today ahead of Spain's official recognition process in a cabinet meeting.
The state of Palestine must be viable with the West Bank and Gaza connected by a corridor and with East Jerusalem as its capital, and must be unified under the legitimate government of the Palestine National Authority. Although it is not up to Spain to define the borders of other countries, our position is aligned with the UN Security Council resolutions 242 and 338 and with the position of the European Union. Therefore, we won't recognize change in the 1967 lines other than those agreed to by the parties.
Ireland and Norway will formalize their recognition of a Palestinian state today. People took to the streets and cities around the world following Sunday's attack on Rafah, including in Paris.
We don't want to be complicit in a crime against humanity. What's happening in Rafah, what's happening in the Gaza Strip, is intolerable.
Protests are also continuing on college campuses. At Brown University, President Christina Paxson's commencement speech was interrupted by demonstrators from the group Brown Alumni for Palestine. At the University of Chicago, four seniors are being denied their graduation after they participated in Gaza solidarity protests. In Los Angeles, UCLA police have made their first arrest in connection with the violent attack on pro-Palestinian student protests. Protesters last month. 18-year-old Edanan is accused of beating protesters with a wooden pole. This comes as unionized academic workers at UCLA and UC Davis are launching a strike action today over violations of their right to free speech. In Canada, the largest university, the University of Toronto, on Monday, asked a court to authorize police action to arrest students who defied a deadline to dismantle their encampment. Hundreds of tents have been put up during the weeks-long peaceful protest at the University of Toronto as students demand their school divest from Israel. Reporters Without Borders has lodged another complaint with the International Criminal Court for, quote, war crimes against journalists in Gaza, unquote, where Israel's killed over 100 media workers since October 7th. Reporters Without Borders said, quote, those who kill journalists are attacking the public's right to information, which is even more essential in times of conflict. They must be held accountable, unquote. In Ukraine, at least 18 people, including a 12-year-old child, were killed after a Russian strike on a shopping center in Ukraine's second-largest city, Kharkiv, Saturday. Dozens of others were injured. It's the deadliest Russian attack in weeks, as Kyiv warns Moscow is preparing to further intensify its offensive along Ukraine's northeastern. In Papua New Guinea, officials say as many as 2,000 people are feared dead after they were buried alive when a landslide engulfed several villages in the northern Enga province. Thousands of residents have been ordered to evacuate as the landslide is still active. Most of the bodies remain missing as rescue efforts have been hampered by unstable terrain and a blocked-off road.
I have 18 of my family members buried under the debris and soil that I'm standing on, and a lot more family members in the village I cannot count. I'm the landowner here. Thank you to all those who have come to help us, but I cannot retrieve the bodies, so I'm standing here helplessly.
At least 23 people were killed while millions of others were left without electricity after Cyclone Rimal ripped through Bangladesh and eastern India Sunday, damaging homes, uprooting trees and destroying power lines. This comes amidst a protracted heat wave across Pakistan and western India. In Pakistan's southern province of Sindh, temperatures have risen to over 125 degrees Fahrenheit. In India, voters face scorching temperatures as the country's six-week election, the largest in the world, is nearing a close at the end of this week.
It feels like we will die if we step out of our house in this scorching heat, but we have to vote for our nation. So that is why I have come here to vote.
In Brazil, officials are warning of the dangerous spread of waterborne disease following catastrophic floods in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. At least 169 people have been killed in the floods, while many others are still missing and hundreds of thousands have been displaced. Mexico is now experiencing its third heat wave of the year. Temperatures as high as 113 degrees Fahrenheit are forecast for today across at least two-thirds of Mexico. This comes as water has emerged as a key issue in next Sunday's elections. Mexico City residents have been forced to ration water for months due to a worsening drought that could leave as many as 22 million people without access to water. Officials warn reserves could run dry as soon as late June. Back in the United States, at least 22 people were killed as catastrophic storms and tornadoes swept across Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Kentucky over the weekend. Meanwhile, over 400,000 people were left without electricity across the eastern U.S. Monday due to severe weather. South Korea, China, and Japan have issued a joint declaration after their first trilateral summit in 4 years. The three nations met in Seoul in South Korea amidst rising tensions between Beijing and Washington over trade, Taiwan, and regional influence. This is Chinese Premier Li Qiang.
We will deepen economic trade connectivity, strengthen cooperation in regional industrial and supply chains, and promote the resumption of negotiations on the China-Japan-South Korea Free Trade Agreement.
Ahead of the summit in Seoul, activists gathered to protest Japan's military cooperation with South Korea and its refusal to provide reparations for its sex trafficking of girls and women from countries under its occupation in the Second World War. This is a survivor of Japan's wartime sexual slavery, or so-called comfort woman, 95-year-old Lee Young-soo.
I want to urge Japan to enforce the compensation and resolve the historical issue. And while we are protecting our past, it is history while they visit each other's countries.
At the United Nations Geneva headquarters, negotiators from around the world failed to agree on a treaty that would outline a global strategy to handle the next major pandemic. The treaty, which had been in the works for over 2 years, aimed to establish binding policies for World Health Organization member nations, which includes the United States, on data sharing and enabling equitable access to vaccines and treatments, among other issues. Here in New York, closing arguments are being delivered today in Donald Trump's criminal hush money and election interference trial. Trump's facing 34 felony counts for falsifying business records to cover up payments made to Stormy Daniels in order to protect his 2016 presidential campaign prospects. The jury is expected to begin deliberating on Wednesday. In Georgia, an immigrant from Liberia has died while detained at the notorious Immigration and Customs Enforcement Stewart Detention Center. 44-year-old convict Dennis had been jailed at Stewart since last year. Dennis is believed to be at least the 12th death at Stewart, which is run by the private company CoreCivic. In Texas, families of the victims of the Uvalde massacre have filed lawsuits against Meta and Microsoft and the gunmaker Daniel Defense. The 18-year-old mass shooter used a Daniel Defense rifle when he entered Robb Elementary School May 24, 2022, and murdered 19 children and two teachers. The families say the Meta-owned Instagram and the Microsoft-owned Activision, which makes a video game Call of Duty, are guilty of marketing the assault-style rifles to teenage boys who play the game, like the Uvalde shooter. The lawsuit argues, quote, these companies are chewing up alienated teenage boys and spitting out mass shooters, unquote. And the United Auto Workers has filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board and requested a new vote for workers at a pair of Mercedes-Benz plants in Alabama. Around 5,000 workers voted against unionizing with the UAW earlier this month after an intense union-busting campaign by Mercedes-Benz, which the union accused of wanton lawlessness. UAW says the company forced workers to sit through anti-union meetings and retaliated against pro-union workers, including through termination. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
We begin today's show in Gaza, where health officials say at least 46 people were killed and more than 110 injured across Gaza in the last 24 hours as Israel continues to bomb Rafah after its forces on Sunday night bombed yet another tent camp in the southern city that was housing displaced Palestinians in an area that had been declared a safe zone. Officials say many of the bodies were charred after the Israeli attack caused a fire that tore through the camp. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Monday called the Rafah strikes a tragic mistake and vowed to investigate amidst global outrage. The attack came just 2 days after the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to immediately stop its assault on Rafah. Meanwhile, Palestinians continue to flee Rafah amidst ongoing Israeli attacks.
We don't know where we were going. We woke up at 6 in the morning, at 5:30 in the morning, from the shelling and rockets. We are going. God knows, in our situation, we don't have tents, and we don't have anything. We have children with us. We have more people to transport, my aunt and my mother-in-law. They are under the shelling, and I will go and get them. There is no transportation. There is nothing. In terms of means of life, this is what we woke up to at 5:30 in the morning.
I don't know. I'm just walking in the street. I don't know where to come or go. They say that we should go somewhere safe. There is nowhere safe. There is no area that is safe. Where should we go? Let the Arab world look at us now. Let the Arabs look at us and see what is happening to us. God is my suffice and the best disposer of my affairs. This is not a life. This is not a life. This is not a life. We are sick. I don't know what to say. We are walking, but we cannot walk or come or go.
For more, we go to Rafah in Gaza. We're joined by independent journalist Shruk Ella. She lived in the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza before October 7th, had been studying English at Islamic University in Gaza. We welcome you, Shruk, to Democracy Now! If you can talk about what you understand happened on Sunday night with the attack on the camp that was designated by Israel as a safe zone, the Israeli bombing that took out the lives of 45 people as it hit some kind of oil tank and the fire ripped through the camp.
Okay, so on Friday, when the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to immediately halt its offense in Rafah City, Rafah City is a city that is full of 1 million displaced people who came through the Gaza Strip. This is according to the Israeli army, who issued that the Rafah area is a safe area and considered as a designed humanitarian area. So over 1 million sought refugee at this city, and after the order of the ICJ, Israel is unlikely comply with the order and responded with more attacks in the area and expanding its military operation in Rafah City. And 2 days ago, it happened when they launched at least 2 rockets on a displacement camp that is quite close to the UNRWA logistic log, which is a base refers to UNRWA and people gathered around this space, considering it, you know, as a green area, a safe area. And after the bombing, the area is basically full of tents for displaced people, and the fire sets on because of, you know, the tents are basically made of nylon fabrics and wood, and this severely affected in having more fire, and which caused the death toll raised until 45 and almost plus 200 got injured. And yesterday, the bus night since the midnight till the 6 a.m., the Israeli army shelled and attacked the Rafah city once again heavily. And the sounds of the explosion in Rafah were totally heard and clearly in the middle area of the Gaza Strip. And they expanded the operations more in the area, which caused in three hospitals to be out of the service, the Indonesian Fair Hospital and the Emirati Hospital and also Kuwaiti hospitals. So because of the attack in the past night, we three hospitals went out of service, and also lots of people are being now in streets, unable to recognize where to go, especially because of the fuel crisis. This fuel crisis happened because of the closure of the borders because of the Rafah invasion. So we really have a crisis in transportations. The fees of the transportations is quite high that people are unable to afford it. So some of the people decided to stay and not to leave because they are unable to afford the transportations to move for other areas. And while other decided to just walk in the streets to reach somewhere else, but not Rafah. And while others, they managed to leave the area. And basically the situation is totally catastrophic because of the last night, almost five so far got killed and lots of injuries, according to the Ministry of Health in Gaza. And people are in a total despair, despite these dire conditions, they are unable to know where shall they go, especially Rafah, the so-called safe area, is not safe area anymore, and tents are a threat and not safe areas for displaced people. So people now are trying just to move to the middle area of the Gaza Strip or to Khan Yunis city. Khan Yunis city in the past four months, it suffered from very heavy bombardment in the air that led in almost total destruction in the entire city. So now people are establishing their tents on the rubbles of the houses. So it's not the issue of the buildings now or the issue of having a place to stay, but it is about just moving your tent from so-called safe area to so-called safe area. And people are in a total mess and despair because of this.
And Shuk, I wanted to ask you, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has called this strike a tragic error and that Israel is investigating, but he keeps defending what he calls the precise use of weapons by Israel to insist that the assault on Rafah will continue. What's your response?
I'm not sure if I got your question correctly because of the connections, but in terms of the Israeli doing investigations and the attacks, sometimes it just happened, and investigations will not pay off whatever rights to get back, especially after having lots of casualties and also lifting people in the streets and in a total catastrophic and dire conditions to seek for other shelters and other places to stay in.
Shruk, Ella, I'm wondering also, we're about to go to the International Court of Justice in The Hague, and we wanted to get your response. We're about to go to the International Court of Justice at The Hague, but we wanted to get your response, people's response on the ground in Gaza to the International Court of Justice ruling that Israel had to stop the assault on Gaza and Rafah immediately.
All right. So when it comes to such attacks, basically, we can see that the casualties and the losses that we are having are basically kids and women, like mostly civilians. And, you know, the area, like, for, let me say, when it comes to attacking tents, you know, it's such a soft area that can get easily destroyed by wind or by heavy rain. But launching rockets in this area, the reason it basically causes a catastrophe in the area. And you can add for this that people now are singing and dying in the fear that that there is no safe place, you know, that when they are just lost, that they are unable to recognize where they shall go. And if this decision of moving is such a good decision, or they are going to cope with the consequences of not moving around for other places. So there is no safe area, and there is no production, and there is no so-called green areas or safety area that people can go and seek refuge at.
Shruk Ayla, I want to thank you so much for being with us, independent journalist and producer in Rafah, Gaza, formerly lived at the Jabalia camp in northern Gaza, studied English at Islamic University there. When we come back, the continued Rafah attack and the bombing that led to at least 45 people being killed in Rafah, in a safe zone, came just 2 days after the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to immediately stop its assault on Rafah. We'll go to The Hague for an update. Stay with us. Theme of Ali. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's bombing of the tent camp in Rafah that killed over 45 people on Sunday, housing displaced Palestinians in a so-called safe zone, came just 2 days after the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to immediately stop its assault on Rafah. This is ICJ presiding judge Nawaf Salam.
The court considered that, in conformity with its obligations under the Genocide Convention, Israel must immediately halt its military offensive and any other action in the Rafah governorate which may inflict on the Palestinian group in Gaza conditions of life that could bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part.
The order came in response to an emergency request by South Africa, which has brought a genocide case against Israel at the World Court. Though the order is legally binding, there's no enforcement mechanism. This is Abed Mohammed Alattar, a Palestinian man whose brother and other relatives were killed in Israel's latest attacks on Rafah.
The decision.